Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. Now I will continue where we left off in the last show. We had ended up figuring out what your after-tax income was. Essentially, we're trying to figure out what you make. As I said, your monthly income after taxes, and of course you include your child support, tips, and other sources of income. And if the income is variable, take the average of several months. In other words, just do your best to estimate what comes in on average. You may want to calculate the average across several months so you can account for the ups and downs. Or you can pull out last year's tax return and divide your total income by 12. And if your taxes aren't deducted from your check, estimate the taxes you will pay at tax time and deduct them from your regular monthly income. If you need help, look again at last year's tax return. What if you get extra money from a side business or from working overtime? What you do is you estimate what you take home on average, after taxes of course, and add it in with the rest of your income. Now, how about if your employer deducts health insurance premiums from your checks? If they do that, enter in your total income before those deductions are taken. Same goes for deductions for disability and life insurance. Now also, what if your employer contributes to a retirement plan or pension? You add the amount of your employer's contribution in with your total income. If the contributions are made once a year, just take the annual amount and divide by 12. Technically, these contributions aren't part of your take-home paycheck, but they build toward your lifetime savings, so we want to be sure to count them now. And one last thing, what if you can't get an exact number? Well, the point is just do your best. You want to get a reasonable estimate of your after-tax income so you can get started balancing your money. There won't be a team of accountants knocking on your door. This is about your situation, so we just relax. Now we're going to look at your must-haves. Before you tally up your must-haves, let's get a clear picture on what they are. The list is surprisingly short. A place to live, utilities, medical care, insurance, transportation, and minimum payments on your can't-escape legal obligations. So I'll repeat that. A place to live, utilities, medical care, insurance, transportation, and minimum payments on your can't-escape legal obligations. This essentially is the core, the amounts that you must pay every month in good times and in bad. You may be thinking, where does this list come from? Professor Warren put forth three simple guidelines to decide what qualifies as a must-have. 1. Could you live in safety and dignity without this purchase, at least for a while? 2. If you lost your job, would you keep spending money on this? And the last, 3. Could you live without this purchase for 6 months? The first two questions force you to look at what really matters. If you lost your job and had to live on a tiny unemployment check, you would still pay your mortgage. You wouldn't, we hope, go on a trip to Disneyland. The third question is for those things that seem like must-haves but really aren't. Consider a basic example, clothing. Unless you live in a nudist colony, you must have clothes to step outside your door. But the odds are you have a closet full of clothes. Would you like a new pair of shoes? Sure. Do you want to walk around in those old-time green pants? No. But could you wear your old shoes and green breeches and still be warm and safe for another 6 months or so? You probably could. So, are we saying you should never buy new clothes or CDs? Of course not. We're just saying that this category, the must-haves, is only for necessities. A place to live, because you need that for your basic dignity, and because you've made a long-term legal commitment to a lease or mortgage. Insurance and medical care, because you need those to stay safe and healthy. Car payments, so you can get where you need to go. And an allowance for gas for your regular back and forth. Child care may be another must-have if you need it to get a paycheck. And you can't escape legal obligations like student loans, child support payments, and anything you've signed a long-term contract for. Well, wait a minute, you might be saying, what about my credit cards? If you are like most Americans, you are probably carrying a balance on your credit cards. Because this situation is so common, we're going to treat payments on your credit cards differently. We know there are legal obligations that you must pay, but the goal of all your worth is to not keep making minimum monthly payments forever. The goal is to get rid of these debts altogether. So leave them out of the must-haves. They will go in a separate category later on. Putting food in the right category is also a bit tricky. Obviously, you must have food to live. On the other hand, if you're like most of us, you could probably cut way back on the amount you spend on food. You could stop eating out, stop buying beer and frozen dinners, and live on beans and rice or something similarly cheap if you really had to. So food isn't a fixed obligation the way your mortgage or car payment is. This means you have to think of food as straddling two categories. A small amount to cover your basic nutritional needs should go with the must-haves. All the rest, the restaurant meals, the beer and soda, the power bars, and the T-bone steaks, fits in the wants category. Now we're going to calculate your must-have score. You enter all your monthly must-have expenses in a worksheet. So obviously you're going to need a pen and paper for this. And here I'll take a break for station identification and come back to the worksheet. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So here are your must-haves, and you need to write these down, or else this will not be so valuable. The first thing is housing, your monthly housing cost, which is your rent or mortgage. And then the next thing is utilities. We take an average for about 3 months bills for gas, water, sewer, electricity, those kinds of things. So that's utilities. Then the next thing is the basic phone service. Do not include any of the extras like call waiting, DSL, unlimited texting, database, all of those kinds of additional items. Really just basic phone service. Another important category is your homeowners or renters insurance. If you pay this annually, take your total premium and divide by 12. If this is included with your mortgage payment, then enter zero. And then your property taxes. If you pay this annually, take your bill and divide by 12. If this is included with your mortgage payment, then you enter zero. So housing, once again, is monthly housing cost, utilities, basic phone service, homeowners or renters insurance, and property taxes. After that, the next thing we look at is medical care. First thing, health insurance. If your employer provides your insurance, then enter the amount that is deducted from your paycheck. If your employer pays the full premium, then enter zero. And then also, the critical issue is the monthly total of what you pay out of pocket for recurring medical expenses. Regular prescription drugs, medical supplies, co-pays, etc. So that's medical care, your health insurance, and your monthly total of what you pay out of pocket for recurring medical expenses. The next category is transportation. What is your monthly car payment or lease payment? The next thing would be car insurance. Again, if you pay annually, divide your bill by 12. Although nowadays, a lot of people pay for 6 months, so you take that and divide by 6. Next item is your gas, your average monthly expense, which for many people going back and forth to work is quite high these days. And then if there is other transportation costs to get you to work, example, you know, parking, taking a bus, subway fare, taxi, put that down also. So again, transportation, monthly car payment or lease payment, car insurance, gas, and if any, other transportation costs. The next category is insurance, which is monthly payments for other insurance, life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance. So we put that down. What is your monthly payment for other insurance? The next category is food. What are your basic food needs? Well, here are some rules of thumb based on the USDA cost schedules. The low-cost plan for an adult is about $238 for a male and $207 for a female. For a family of four, it's $706 to $830, depending on the age of the kids. And of course, this is a low-cost plan, monthly cost, which frankly is on an upward climb due to the cost of food. And of course, with food, there can be some health issues that have to be factored in, which affect the basic cost. After food, we're going to look at legal obligations. One of the tough ones is student loans, your monthly payment. So put that down. Next is ongoing contractual obligations. So we enter our monthly bill for anything that you have a long-term contract for, such as cell phone, gym membership, child care, satellite TV, appliance payments, all these things. So ongoing contractual obligations. Another thing is other ongoing legal obligations, such as child support, alimony payments. So we add that in. Now, after we get all of these items down, what we do is we total them up for our monthly must-haves. Now, after you do that, what you do is you take your must-have total monthly amount, you divide by your after-tax income, which we went over and figured from our original worksheet, and then you multiply by 100. What we're trying to do is get a percentage here of your must-haves in relationship to your total income, with, of course, 50% being the goal in the balance equation, but for most people, it's not going to be there to start out with. So figure that one out. Now, let's look at some points in relationship to this equation. As we said already, you don't put your credit card payments in yet. This goes in another section, so we're not worried about it. Another point many people have occasional babysitters or they enroll their kids in after-school activities. Now, does this go in must-haves? If you've signed a long-term contract, then it's a must-have. Likewise, if you need the child care so you can earn a paycheck or look for a job, then it is a must-have. But if it is something your family could live without, then it's a want. Now, what about you spend a lot more than the suggested cost amounts for food? Well, the goal is to give yourself a basic budget to cover your essential food needs. You're not trying to record what you actually spend every month. Next, perhaps you're making monthly payments for a washer or dryer. Where does that go? Monthly payments for appliances, furniture, and anything else that you've signed a contract for go under ongoing contractual obligations in the legal obligations section we discussed. Next is sometimes people pay extra on their mortgage. Does that go here in the must-haves? Actually, it does not. We will have a place for extra payments later on. Another category is I pay my cable bill every month. Where does that go? Since you could live without cable, at least we hope, it doesn't belong with the must-haves. If you signed a long-term contract, then it does go with legal obligations, but assuming you could cancel cable TV whenever you want, it should go with the wants, which we will cover later on. Another issue, which has grown a lot, is that people have taken home equity loans to pay off their credit cards. Where does that go? Well, monthly payments on your home equity loan or second mortgage belong with your housing costs, and not paying them could jeopardize your must-have living arrangement. And then one other point, what about presents? Christmas presents, birthday presents, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, and especially things that relate to your kids. Well, these are not regular monthly expenses. And if you lost your job, this is probably something you wouldn't spend money on, or at least not very much money. So it belongs with the wants, not the must-haves. So go back and look at your must-have score. This is the amount of income you have committed to your must-have expenses every month. Now let's analyze this a little bit. We want to understand your must-have score. Let's say it comes out to under 35%. You are keeping the must-have spending under tight control then. You have left yourself lots of flexibility and lots of room to have some fun and to save for the future. Overspending on must-haves is not a problem for you. So you're actually in a very stable, good position. Well, what if it's 35 to 50%? Your must-have spending is here very well balanced. You have made substantial commitments, but your spending plan can comfortably leave room for savings and for fun. Good balance. Next category is 50% to 65%. Now, this is the must-have danger zone. Do you scrimp on the fun stuff, but still find that you are not saving as much as you should? That's because your must-have commitments are too big for your income. The warning lights are flashing. Stop. Step 3 will help you examine your must-haves more carefully. We will help you decide where to trim and show you how to protect yourself if you decide to stay heavy on the must-haves. It may seem a little challenging, but don't worry. You don't have too far to go. And once you get your must-haves in balance, the hardest part is over. You will be able to relax and start building some real wealth. And finally, more than 65%. Well, this is a must-have crash zone. If you find that whenever the car breaks down or Christmas rolls around, you wind up putting everything on your credit card, do you find yourself worrying over every penny but still not having enough to pay the bills? You're drowning in big commitments. You're spending so much on your monthly must-haves that you hardly have enough left over to buy a six-pack of paper towels, let alone something for your future. Even the smallest hiccup can seem like a major disaster because there is no extra money to handle anything that goes wrong. You shot through the danger zone many warning lights ago, and now you are deep in the highest risk area, the crash zone. You need to get your must-have spending under control immediately. And when we get to it, pay special attention to step three. It is the step that will make the most difference in your life. Some of the choices may be tough, but cutting your must-haves is the only road to financial peace for you. Don't keep cruising and telling yourself everything will work out. You are driving down the freeway of life at 200 miles per hour with no seatbelt, no steering wheel, and no brakes. You need to make some changes before you crash. And I'll come back to this after a station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now let's talk about special circumstances. We understand that you may sometimes have special circumstances, and they are times in life when your money may not stay in perfect balance. For example, when a new baby comes, or a job disappears, when you go back to school, or someone gets sick, things naturally get out of kilter for a while. That's okay. All your worth is designed to last a lifetime, and that means it is flexible enough to handle the ups and downs in life. As we move ahead in the future, we will talk more about special circumstances and when it is okay to stretch beyond 50% in the must-haves. Now it's time to move on to the next element in the balanced money formula, your savings. We know this is slightly out of order, but we'll hit the wants afterwards. For now, it's time to take the measure of how much you're getting ahead or falling behind. The savings category actually includes two kinds of money. The first is all the stuff that usually comes to mind when you hear the words saving for the future, like money for a retirement account or a regular bank account. The second kind of savings is debt repayment. You may not think of paying off your debts as saving for the future, but that's what it is. Consider your car loan. If you put $500 in the bank, you'll save $500 in savings you can call on later. But if you pay off $500 on your car loan, then that's $500 extra plus interest you'll have in your pocket later on. Paying off your debt is another way to get ahead, and it is just as important as putting cash into the bank. I'm going to repeat that. Paying off your debt is another way to get ahead, and it is just as important as putting cash into the bank. Every time you pay down principal on a loan, you are building your savings for the future. Now we're going to do the worksheet. So this is worksheet 3, and you're going to need your pen again. Savings, traditional savings. First is your monthly contributions to a retirement account. If you make an annual contribution, divide the total by 12. If your employer contributes to the retirement account or pension, include that amount here too. So that's number one. Number two is enter the total of any other monthly saving, such as college savings accounts or passbook savings accounts. If your savings varies from month to month, add up all your savings for the past year and divide the total by 12. So that's traditional savings. After that, we come to debt payment. If you make extra payments beyond the regular monthly payment to pay off the principal of your mortgage, car loan, or student loan, add up the extra payments you make each month. If your payments vary from month to month, include all the extra payments for the last year and divide by 12. Do not include credit card payments here. They will go later. And now what we do is we add up your traditional savings and your debt payment savings. Come to a total. Then we go to part two, which is credit card debt. If you regularly carry a substantial balance on your credit card, calculate the amount by which your balance is growing or shrinking. Credit card balance 1 year ago minus today's balance divided by 12. Again, that's the credit card balance 1 year ago minus today's balance divided by 12. If your balance has been increasing, this will be a negative number. If the balance has been shrinking, this will be a positive number. If you don't usually carry a balance, or if your balance is fairly small, less than $200, then enter zero. So how do we add this all up and make the total monthly savings? That equals the new savings plus the credit card debt. And the new savings was traditional savings and debt payment. And if you entered a negative number for the credit card debt, you should subtract your credit card debt from your new savings. If your debt is growing faster than your savings, your total monthly savings number will be a negative. This means you are spending more than you are saving. So your monthly savings score equals your total monthly savings divided by after-tax income from worksheet 1 times 100. And remember, if the total monthly savings subtotal is negative, then this number is negative also. And what you get, of course, is a percentage. Now let's look at a little bit of details here. What if the amount you save varies a lot from month to month? Calculate the total amount you saved over the past year and divide it by 12. If you don't know how much you saved over the past year, just do your best to estimate your average savings over the past few months. Next thing is, you carry a balance on your credit card. What should you enter in credit card debt? The goal is to calculate how much your credit card balance is growing or shrinking every month. Suppose your balance was $900 one year ago and today it is $1,500. Balance from one year ago of $900 minus the current balance of $1,500 equals a negative $600, and that divided by 12 is a negative $50 a month. So in this example, you would enter minus 50 next to credit card debt. This means your credit card balance has been rising by an average of $50 each month. If you don't know your credit card balance from one year ago, just find a statement from a few months ago and calculate the average amount by which your balance has been rising or falling each month. Now, you pay your credit card balance most months, so do you need to enter anything for your credit card debt in this part? Well, the answer is no. Only people who carry an outstanding balance month after month need to fill in their credit card balance. If you pay off your balance every month, or almost every month, you can just enter zero next to credit card debt. Now, what if you took a home equity loan to pay off your credit card balance? Does that count as savings? No. You still owe the money, although now you owe it to the mortgage company instead of the credit card company, so your debt is still the same. And then one other point is your savings and debts are all over the place, so you're confused. The goal here is to help you get a snapshot of whether you're getting ahead or falling behind each month. Don't get too caught up in trying to get this perfect. We'll help you get where you need to go as the knowledge unfolds here. So we've come up with the worksheet 3 monthly savings score. This is the percentage of your income that is going to savings. This is the amount by which you are getting ahead or falling behind on a monthly basis. And we will go into understanding your monthly savings score in the next show. And again, I highly recommend that people get the book, All You're Worth, read it, understand it, and apply it to your daily, monthly, yearly, and lifetime financial life. And I will continue in the next show. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.